sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRNP guest line. The winner of yesterday's Major League Baseball trade deadline was Michael Schwab, the czar of Astros Twitter. You can find him on X at MichaelSchwab13. I think it's the first time I've ever said you can find somebody on X. I'm anti-X, pro-Twitter.
I'm with
you. But anyways, Michael, thank you for taking a few minutes hanging out with us today. How about the haters of Michael Schwab, huh? You were taking some heat prior to yesterday. He's not a source. Who is this guy? You won a lot of people over yesterday, Schwabby.
Listen, I think I was surprised as much as everyone when they started crediting me yesterday. The haters, they keep going up one by one. I don't know, but I guess that was your car wreck of the day. I'll take it. They can go be in that car wreck. But I think I hopefully have finally proved that I'm not just some random guy who's making stuff up. I've been talking to lots of people, and though yesterday was fun, it was more fun for everyone who's a fan of this team, I will say.
Yeah.
No victory lap, no celebration, glass of wine, or just – and not giving up the day job just yet?
No, not yet. Probably just – my victory lap is watching Carlos play tonight. That's what it is to me, because that still feels like a dream in itself.
You mentioned that. I'm just curious your thoughts. Like, we hear some of the nitpickers and the people that just never, enough is never enough. Everybody in here seems to think they did a really good job, but there are people that are going to say they didn't get any pitching. And whether we heard the rumblings and the rumors that they might be after a right-handed reliever, to the fact that they were chasing a starter like Dylan Cease or Alcantara, were you disappointed they didn't get any pitching?
You know, I think the biggest thing is that the really big issue with pitching right now is injury, 100%. I think, look at it right now, the Space Cowboys, you had Eric Geddy the other night, Luis Garcia tonight, and then you've got J.P. France tomorrow. That's three MLB pitchers going for the Space Cowboys who should be on the team. Everyone's trying to make their way back. Javier is going to be there too. It's just, I think it's nice to see that, but when everything was going through and everything was Dylan Cease, and it was getting right to that yard line, and that's what I kept hearing from everyone. What I was told is that they wanted Spencer Arrighetti, they wanted Steven Okert, and they also wanted Walker Janik. How can you take that for just a rental like Cease when you've got all these players coming off of it, off of the IL? So for me, the amount of pitchers we have on the team, you know, takes away the whole part of the issues you had with the lineup, which is we were missing bats, and they were missing bats for a while. So that's where they needed to focus, and it's okay. To me, I think they'll be fine with the whole pitching aspect.
You got like a Cam Smith who was batting top of the order for better part of a couple of months, batting eighth today. Dubon, who's been really good lately, batting ninth. It is a deeper lineup, no doubt about it. Tell us about the Carlos Correa. How did it all build up? How did it happen? How much was Dana involved, Jim Crane involved? Just give us the logistics of it all and then what he means to this team the rest of the year and going forward, because under club control for a few more years.
Absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing is that, you know, I think everyone's going to say this happened so quickly. And even you're going to hear this from PR's perspective, like, oh, you know, that wasn't the plan. I sent out a post about it, showing a screenshot. I received a text message from a great source back in February about Astros talking to Minnesota about Carlos. And my first reaction was, that's insane. Same person reaches out to me again in April. Same conversation's going. So then they keep telling me what's going on. So I start asking all around. This is me asking reporters, me asking, you know, players, coaches, everyone I can like know, and no one knew anything of it. It's very secret, but they've been talking for a long time. So finally, when it came down to everything, all the big pieces of it have been lining up. All those blocks have been lining up over months. To finally, when you got down to the deadline, they just needed to figure out what it looked like. And the truth is that Minnesota was ready to sell. And Jim, who's a businessman, said, I know you need to sell this guy off. I know you guys are in debt. Give me this guy, and we'll take care of all those things. And so really, you know, how it all transpired at the end is that Jim Crane was on the phone with the Twins owner at the last second, getting everything figured out. And that's how they got it all squared away. They worked with the whole team to get right to the threshold, and that's with, you know, the Twins sending all that money over here, $33 million, to cover most of the cost. And so what it means for Houston is, you know, you're not just getting a great player. And sure, he's playing third base, which he played with the Puerto Rican team in the World Baseball Classic, but you're getting great defense. You are getting a good bat. You know, he's great against right and left-handed pitching. You know, 260 against right-handed, 291 against the left-handed. He's a leader in the clubhouse. Espada was talking about how he's already talking to everyone and hitters. You know, it changes the whole dynamic of this to have a player like that. And they have not had a leader for a long time since he left, really. Because Bregman did it quietly, but Carlos will do it loudly. And this is good. This is really good for the team, and this is good for Astros fans.
It's good, and the one that we've been kicking around, and the one that I'm interested your thoughts on, is the fact that we know how this plays out for the rest of the year because Paredes won't be back. Is it a good problem to have, and how does it sort out next year when you look at Paredes coming back, when you look at Correa, who's already said, I'm willing to go to third base, but now it's second base that is going to be that kind of position that who gets put there, and how does it all kind of sort itself out? I've heard some people say, would they trade either Paredes or Peña? How do you see it playing out after this year?
So a couple different things that you have to consider about this. You know, we're hearing a lot of timelines about Paredes. We've seen 2 months. We've seen six, seven. The truth is that I'm hearing it's very, very severe, and the road back is long. And there's even doubts that Paredes won't be ready by opening day. And that's just what I've been told by several different people. If that's the case, well, you don't really have an issue with who everyone's going to play. You're going to have the same people out there right now as you are going to have next year. When Paredes finally does come back, where do you put him? That's more of the question, not where does Carlos go. Carlos will do great at third base, and he will stay on the left side of the infield. Paredes, you try him at second. I think that's probably the best thing for him. Maybe you put him at DH. It's a good problem to have. It's you know, it's an issue of riches. And if it's something that's too much, then you do start talking about trading. But with 2 years left on Peña's deal, it seems a little too early to trade someone like Jeremy Peña. I think maybe they would even consider trading Paredes, but he's having an injury that's going to put his stock really, really low. So, you know, I think they're just going to feel it out. That's just like the best way to do it.
Michael Schwab joining us on the HRNP guest line. You can follow him on Twitter at MichaelSchwab13. The credit you were given was over the Jesus Sanchez news. That's the one I saw at least. What does he mean to this team? Obviously, Dana Brown has been talking about a left-handed bat. You look at his numbers against righties, very, very good. What do you think his impact is going to be with the Stros?
Well, Jesus Sanchez means a lot because a couple different things about him. Yes, he finally got that left-handed bat. And just not great against lefties himself, 130, but 283 and 800 OPS against righties. That's what they've been needing big time. So, yes, you finally got that left-handed bat. He'll have him out there. He's going to platoon great. He's actually got the second strongest arm on the team next to Cam Smith at 79 miles an hour about his throwing. He's got one of the best bat speeds on the team now. So you've added him and Carlos, who now are top five in bat speed on the team now. So Sanchez comes in, and he's also a great fielder. So you can plug him, play him anywhere. And the biggest thing that I take away from this is Cam Smith is playing his life out. He's doing great. But he's playing longer than he's ever played in his entire career. This kid was in, college last year? Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is big for Cam because he's going to be able to sit and rest and come back fresh. And you can see that with the team right now. People are not fresh. So you've added Carlos, you've added Urias, and you've added Sanchez. You're going to keep everyone fresh. Just get to the postseason. That's all you got to do. And this is what gets you there.
Michael, I'm curious. We talk about this a lot. We know what Dana's had to endure. And not just the job he did yesterday and the fact that he didn't hardly give up anything to get what they got. But what we don't know that maybe you know more than a lot of us do is how much of the extra bells and whistles he's got to deal with Jim Crane and the meddling and the other people that might be involved in all this. And we know that it was a stumbling block between Click and Crane that it's one thing to say he did a hell of a job yesterday. It's another thing to say we don't know about how many different hoops he's got to jump through before he can pull off some of these moves.
Yeah, I mean, the dynamic of how the front office works is interesting. And it's very different than other teams. The truth is that Jim Crane is very much involved in this team. But by use of Dana as his big-time helper, Dana gets everything lined up for Jim. Dana makes the big decisions, and everyone gets everything lined up to Dana. He has a great group of assistant GMs, incredible development team. The minor league system is incredible. All these things lead up to Dana, and then that leads up to Jim. And so Jim is not like a person who just remains out of it. Jim's going to have the final say. And, you know, I wouldn't say that this Correa thing was just Jim-led. I think this was everyone. Dana was on those calls. Lots of different people were on those calls. I think what we have here is just different. With James Click, there was a little bit of that nervousness from the Tampa Bay, you know, world of just, ooh, I don't know if we're going to make that big move. And then with Luhnow, it was a whole monster. Jim could let him do what he wants. But I do think that Dana and Jim are finding a nice spot to where they're going to make big plays. And you can see it now. I mean, if you could grade this entire deadline, you bring on three solid players, one of them being a superstar, and you only took on really about $6 or $7 million this year, and you gave up one major league talent, which was Ryan Gusto, which that's fine, and then some prospects that some people may have never even heard about. That's a big win, and that wasn't Jim, and that wasn't just Dana. That was everyone involved. That's kind of how it all works now.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Michael, great work these past couple of days, and I'll see you on the internet, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely. I'll see you arguing on the internet. Let's go.
We'll do it. Yeah, I like to argue. It's kind of what I do. Appreciate you, Michael. Michael Schwab 13 on Twitter. All of the who's who of the baseball world was citing Michael Schwab for breaking the Jesus Sanchez news yesterday. He broke the Astros' interest on Carlos Correa as well. It's crazy to think it went all the way back to February.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to think about it, and it didn't come out. But it was also whenever they kicked the tires around on Arenado for a second time after they missed out on Bregman. So kind of makes some sense.
And the other thing that I would think is, as it relates to what you just said, owners know before just about anybody else in terms of a franchise that might be in limbo or might be going up for sale real soon because of all the books and the discussions and those owners' meetings when they happen. There is some legitimacy to everybody's kind of given the kind of game plan for what's coming up. And when owners find out that Minnesota might have some trouble financially and might be on the block soon, a smart businessman like Jim Crane goes, well, you know, they got a lot of salaries on that roster, and that might be something that they look to do that we can kind of pounce on.
Yeah. I don't think that they were the Twins were there yet in terms of their selling players off, but I think it was more interest in the Astros having another infielder because they were calling on Arenado. They missed out on Bregman, calling on Correa. Just kind of interesting the timeline and how the buildup worked there. Let's talk about the surplus of infielders. The surplus of infielders the Astros have. How do you figure that out ahead of 2026? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Quick little flex. I'm 1-0 betting preseason football. I am up a fifth of a unit. See how that goes for me.
You trying to do film study like you're Jeremy Branham?
No.
Make everybody think that you know ball.
Undefeated.
That's that theory that is in...
It's more of a working theory.
Yeah.
With zero evidence to support the theory. It's more of a hypothesis at this point.
Got a one-game sample size.
Yeah, I mean, I like my chances. Golf course looks good. Swing feels good. I like my chances. I'm up. Hey, how many people are up a fifth of a unit this far into the NFL preseason?
You like your chances.
Maybe not many.
Betting that more than Lions fans like the chances that Kyle Allen should be their backup quarterback.
Go Cougs.
Jim Rome show reference there.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people that evidently had high hopes.
What was Hooker up to? He's their number two, isn't he?
Well, the way they were talking about it on the telecast last night, they were talking about it like he was going to be expendable because Kyle Allen was going to be your backup. Because
really?
Of his experience.
Interesting.
Kyle Allen, two turnovers right away.
I mean, I figure if Hooker's not playing in that game, they feel pretty good about Hooker, no?
He played.
Hooker played?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he just didn't start?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't even watch. I didn't even have to sweat it because the Chargers ran away with that bad boy.
Trey Lance made some nice touch passes that I wasn't expecting to see.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, the touchdown pass to Will Dissly was
really
a nice pass.
Nice. Dropped it in the bucket. Yep.
There we go. All right. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMB listener line. Ocho is banging the Trammell drum. Can I interest you in some stats? Did you know that my guy, the legendary Mr. Taylor Walter Lee Trammell, is hitting .277 versus righties with the Strohs, 13 walks, 64 ABs, and a .375 on base, which is second to only Pena from Ocho. Look, Trammell's going to get plenty of chances. He's your center fielder against right-handed pitching until Myers comes back, and Myers' return is not imminent.
No. I mean, you looked at it earlier this week when they were in the game notes and giving updates on everybody, and the first day there wasn't any updates to be given basically on Jake Myers, and then they followed up subsequently that he still hasn't done anything. So, yeah, there's no reason to believe right now that he's coming back anytime soon.
No, Trammell's going to have an opportunity. Like, they sent down Melton. I mean, we're looking at a Trammell, Chaz McCormick platoon in center field until Myers returns, until Melton steals the job, which, I mean, I don't feel great about. So, I mean, Trammell's going to have opportunities, and he's in the lineup today. What do you do with the surplus of infielders that you have going into next season?
I mean, listening to Schwab, he brings up the point, which is kind of worrisome, that Paredes might not even be ready to start next season, which means you might table this for a while and just keep doing what you're doing. But if the assumption is everybody's healthy next year, it's an interesting proposition, because I think as much as Correa had, you know, went to him and he said, I'm open to playing third base. Would he be open to playing second base?
Yeah. I don't know if he would.
I don't either.
I think it's like, okay, I moved for you once. Like, just leave me here type of deal.
Yeah, not that he would be like Devers,
right,
and just, you know, foot in the stand, I'm not doing this. But I would think that he'd have an issue with it, where he didn't have an issue going to third, knowing Pena, knowing the situation. But to be moved again, it's like, do you guys really think I can't play defense, or why are you doing this? And I think you look at it from some of the stuff that we've talked about, Paredes isn't a second baseman anymore. No matter how much they said in the past he could play there, or that, you know, that was an option for him, I just think that he's shown more pop. He's got a bigger, more physical frame now. He's filled out a lot more. I don't think he's rangy. I don't think that he has the lateral quickness. I don't think he's a second baseman. So then what do you do? And I've heard people say trade Pena. And because he's coming off, we always say don't trade when the value is the lowest. Well, coming off an all-star season, as long as he comes back and it gets back to form, his value might never be higher into this offseason. But like Schwabe said, you got, you know, 2 years left of team control. Is it too soon to even think about that? And would they, and again, on the flip side of that, you're not going to trade Paredes, I don't think. And there's a guy that's value would be super low because he's hurt.
Yeah, I'm really not the fan of making the trade at all. Pena is interesting because they traded Tucker, but Pena with 2 years of club control. I also don't think you really have a starting caliber shortstop if you do that. Like, Correa's moving to third because he wants to move to third at this stage of his career. He's in his 30s. He's a bigger-bodied shortstop. Like, moving him to third is permanent. It's moving him off of the position. Can he play there in a pinch? Yes. Do you want him playing there 150 games? No. Also think it's good for his health, moving to third base. Less of a grind. You can survive playing third base better than you can survive playing short. So if you trade Pena, like, okay, we're moving Correa back to shortstop. Well, he's telling you he wants to move off of shortstop. He's in his 30s. He's injury prone. He's a bigger shortstop. He's no longer a shortstop. In a pinch, yes. Emergency situation, yes. For a full season, no. Rome mentioned that in The Athletic, kind of threw that out there too, that, hey, they could trade Pena. I don't envision that happening. And if they do, I don't envision Correa being the shortstop. I don't know if they had the natural second baseman, because, again, like, Correa moving to third feels permanent. I don't love Isak Paredes at second. I don't think he has the lateral movement. He's coming off a double hamstring injury. Like, that's a little worrisome. I don't think he's a natural second baseman. If you had to trade one of your infielders, I think the natural one would be Walker, because Walker makes the most. $20 million, which might be a little bit more than Correa, actually. You can play Isak at first base, and then it gives you $20 million to be flexible with. But I'm more of the idea of just keep them all. Like, you're inevitably going to have injuries. Mm. Walker's in his mid-30s. Correa's hurt a lot. Paredes is currently hurt. Pena, who's like the model of good health, has just missed a month because of a fluke baseball injury, which tells you that injuries happen. Altuve's in his 30s. So I'm in favor of just keeping them all, using the DH to rotate guys around. One crazy scenario, and I don't love this scenario, is play Yordan in left field. And if Yordan plays left field, that means Altuve plays more second, which opens up the DH spot to rotate guys through. So I like the depth. You're going to have injuries. Like, those guys aren't going to play 155 games next year. So I keep the surplus.
See, I don't think you can trade Walker. Because he's been less than, and because his salary is so big.
It's only $20 million for 2 more years. It's not nuts.
But I don't know that any team's going to be in on that.
Arizona?
His age and everything? I mean, maybe.
Why not? $40 million for 2 years isn't nuts.
You lose Naylor, and maybe there's a chance there. But I don't know that the market would be great for either Walker or
Paredes.
Oh,
it wouldn't be great for Walker. It's a salary dump.
Yeah. I like where this team's at. I like the fact that they have a lot of options. I'm surprised that you'd be interested in – because I think – Schwab might have alluded to that, but Yordan in left field, I know that everybody is, it's cringeworthy,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, if it means that you're a better offensive team and it opens up another opportunity for Paredes, either because he's coming off the injury and or there's no place to put him, and you can keep all the guys you have, just to keep that offensive lineup together would be entertaining because of the fact that there could be so potent.
Look, I'm not condoning it either, but I think it is something that could be on the table. Like, I don't love the idea of Yordan playing left field because he's a ticking time bomb, but he was DHing and is still on the IL. So it's kind of one of those, can he give you 60 games in left field, 60 games of DH, and then that's it. And then you can rotate the DH spot every time that he's not in the DH, which is still 100 times. So I'm in favor of just keeping the surplus. Guys are going to get hurt. You have good options there. You're not going to use the same nine every day. Like, we get pigeonholed into this idea that here's our starting nine and it's going to be the starting nine every day. That's never the case. But if you go like optimally, like World Series Game 7, everybody's healthy next year of what you currently have under contract, which we know is almost impossible. You're looking at Yiner at catcher, Walker at first, Altuve at second, Pena at short, Correa at third, Yordan in left, Myers in center. Cam Smith in right field, and then who did I miss out? Isak's your DH. And look, you even have Sanchez in the mix there too. Yep. So you have some options.
The big thing though you consider too is the fact that we know and we're all on the same page that Altuve's not great in the field anymore, and he's definitely not great at second base, but that he would be kind of by process of elimination, he'd have to play a lot more second base. You just don't know. This year we had Hunter and Fromber that are both ground ball pitchers. And if Fromber goes, depending on who becomes the two, does that change things at all? But he's still going to have to field his position, and that is a little scary.
Yeah. If I had to trade one, like a texter saying trade Yordan for high, trading Yordan for high would require Yordan comes back really, really soon and then kills it the rest of the year and doesn't have any more injuries. Don't love that idea because I think Yordan has the potential of being one of the best offensive players in baseball. Trading Walker, like, just assume you trade Walker for nothing. Salary dump, Arizona needs a first baseman, welcome home, he still hits well there. You trade Walker for the equivalent of what you traded for Carlos Correa. You're just trading the money off the books. It does open up $20 million for you to sign the best starting pitcher you can.
Yep.
So, like, you would still have a really formidable lineup, because in this case, say you trade Walker. Yiner's your catcher, Isak's your first baseman, Altuve's at second, Pena's at short, your third baseman is Correa, your left fielder is Jesus Sanchez, center fielder Myers, right field Smith, DH Yordan, and you've opened up $20 million. So if you had to trade one, I think the one you trade is Walker.
Hmm. Yeah, I just don't know that. I'm just not of the belief that there's a market for him at that price with his less than year so far, but maybe a homecoming in Arizona is in play.
Yeah, trade Yordan for high, I mentioned that. Paredes will either play second or be traded. I don't think he can play second, man. Like, there's questions if he's good enough defensively to play second, and he's coming off a major hamstring issue.
Yeah, I think from a value perspective, it would have to be a salary dump, but some team's going to want to take a guy that's got a 6 or 7 month hamstring issue and just say, I want that guy, and I believe that guy's going to be healthy.
See, both of those guys that we mentioned have stains. Like, Isak would have the injury stain, and Walker would have the salary stain. Texture 100% Branham, this Astros medical staff continues to fail. To offset its failure, you need quality depth. Keep them all. See, I'm okay with that.
I was going to ask Schwab about the medical staff.
I hope they move on.
I think they have to. I just think something has to be done, whether you go drastic or just something that represents the fact that they have addressed it. But you can't just turn the other cheek anymore.
No, I think you have to. I think you need to do something. Dana was asked about that in his media deal yesterday, and he's like, well, just know we're always looking to help the team, but just know there's injury in baseball. I couldn't get a good tell on it. I don't know if that was like his way of like kind of being coy that he's on it, or if that was his way to defend it. Like I didn't get a good read on it.
Yeah, because a lot of times the owners get to be tight with or owner gets to be tight with the doctors over a certain period of time. And then it's kind of like the Verlander Jim Crane relationship that we always joked about. Oh, they're golf buddies. But a lot of times, because the owner builds a relationship, it's harder to set those guys free.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Robbie, you're in the Hive. What's up, Robbie?
How you doing today?
What was the evil Dr. Robbie laugh for?
Say, look, I don't always agree with you, okay? But I'm completely in agreement with you need to keep everybody because injuries happen. Plain and simple. So, you are 100% right.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, Robbie.
Do you feel good?
Said enough. 100% right. And then Swabies, I mean, if Paredes is questionable for opening day, it's an easy decision.
Yeah.
You definitely keep everybody.
Sure it is. I wasn't expecting to hear that.
No, me either. But I mean, Correa is going to miss. Correa's not playing 162.
No.
Peña might not play 162. Altuve's not playing one. Walker might have another little sea walk. He's not playing 162. Jordan's not playing 162.
It's the equivalent of the NBA's load management, but having quality enough players to be able to do it comfortably, right? It's the fact that you have so many good hitters to pull from and good players to pull from that you can do it without having to put a Zach Short or guys that are less than in the lineup to try and circumvent the fact that these guys need rest.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's play everybody's least favorite game. Who said it next with the Bs on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5?
ESPN 97.5. It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. TreeMac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the killer bees.
Debatable. Texture, that caller with the evil laugh was really, really strange. Don't talk about Robbie that
Robbie.
Way. And then another texture says, Blaine says, Robbie was drunk on the Paul show. He's lit now. If he was drunk at somewhere between the noon to three window, 5:35.
So at 12:30, Robbie said it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Yeah.
Robbie likes that weekend whistle. I don't blame him. Our weekend whistle's coming up soon. But first, Brian likes to torture us right before the weekend whistle.
I like to torture one of you.
Couple weeks in a row.
Well, I guess it depends on how it goes. So maybe, then maybe it's torture both of you.
Who said it? Brian, quote one.
All right, quote one. If you watch the game, set this up by saying this is about Amen Thompson. If you watch the game, you 100% say, boy, he's having a great impact. Then it's like, hurry, give me the stats. I need to be able to match up some stats on him. Well, he shoots less than 30% from three. Who cares? That's not his game. He doesn't shoot a lot of threes. You know, I mean, it's just stupid.
To me, it's Dell because he's the only one talking Rockets basketball this week.
You think?
I think he and Sean talk NBA basketball no matter what. I think that there were things on the internet of Amen Thompson working out, and then somebody said something about the fact that he is untouchable and a superstar in the making.
See, the Catons reminds me of Granato, though. But maybe okay. Granato's rubbing off on Dell. Been together so long.
Pause.
That's your perverted mind. I'm not pausing anything. You know what I meant. If you want to take it there, can take it there. You want to go Dell? I mean, that's fine. I like your argument there.
All right, let's go Dell.
Brian, if you watch the game, you 100% say, boy, he's having a great impact. Then it's
the
like,
difference.
Hurry, get me the stats. I need to be able to match up some stats on him. Whoa, he shoots less than 30% from three. Who cares? That's not his game. He didn't shoot a lot of threes. You know, I mean, it's just stupid.
I should have known that. He calls me stupid a lot.
He does like to use that word.
Dennis Lindsay told me.
Stupid?
No, the Amen Thompson breakdown.
I don't know if anybody gets that reference.
Okay. Some people do.
All right, number two.
All right, quote number two. I appreciate the advice, but I know, no one told me or informed me that McDonald's is a good option. You go to McDonald's because it's quick. It reminds you of when you were 10. It tastes the same way it did when you were 10. You ain't got to alert me that the food is crappy and it's bad for me. It's not good for me, but I know I'm going to enjoy it for the 10 minutes that it takes to eat it, and then we'll see the aftermath.
I think it's Dell.
I do too.
All right, Dell.
I appreciate the advice, nice. But I know, no nice. One told me or informed me that McDonald's is a good option. You go to McDonald's because
how many it's times quick. You eat McDonald's a month?
It reminds you of when you were.
For me or for my kids?
You.
Zero.
Really? So you take your kids there and you don't have any McDonald's?
Correct.
You want to eat any of the fries?
I don't even have the fries or nuggets.
I'm not
or?
Ordering for myself. If my youngest doesn't finish the fries, I'll finish the fries.
I'll go about 3 or 4 times a month.
I prefer the breakfast, but yeah, it's same for me, about 3 or 4 times a
month.
Yeah,
last time I went was for breakfast. I got the sausage McMuffin.
Yep, the same.
Their McMuffins are good.
They are good. Yeah. They have the dollar drinks on the app.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? All right, three.
All right, quote number three. There's no one on the roster right now that should be trusted today. End of the season, we can get back to that. But Stroud might be dead by that point. I suppose it can't be any worse than it was last year, but how much better is it?
Kind of my hunch as well. Yeah. All right, let's do it.
There's no one on the roster right now that should
Dang.
Be trusted today. End of the season.
Okay, boys.
We can get back to that. But Stroud might be dead by that point. I suppose it can't be any worse than it was last year. But how much better is it?
All right. 2-1.
You guys should go with your gut reaction more often.
No.
That's 2 in a row.
We usually don't agree like that.
No. All right. Quote number 4. Plexico was famous for renting cars, never paying them. Renting houses, destroying them. Plexico was a... I just don't want to ever do business with Plexico. And, well, I don't. I don't know what the situation is with Marcus Morris, but damn, they arrested him at the airport?
Who's Plexico?
Plexico Burris?
Yeah, it's Plexico Burris, but this person pronounced it as Plexico.
Okay. So it was somebody else mispronounced it, not you.
Correct.
Interesting.
I don't think it's Dell.
No.
I don't know if Paul knows Plexico Burris.
Oh, he knows. He beat him in the Super Bowl. He beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Okay. But he knows his history like that?
Maybe not.
I'm thinking it's one of the two mornings.
Would Lance call his Would Lance call him Plexico and not Plexico?
Yeah.
He would?
I think so.
Well, you want to go with that?
Over John?
It didn't sound like John's cadence.
One more time, Brian.
Plexico is famous for renting cars, never paying them, renting houses, destroying them. Plexico was a... I just don't want to ever do business with Plexico. And, well, I don't know what the situation is with Marcus Morris, but damn, they arrested him at the airport?
Yeah, I heard a little bit that time.
Yeah.
Your call. I could go either in the morning, guys.
Me too. You don't have it either way?
Nah, you're better at this game than me.
John.
Plexico was famous.
Oh, good work.
Renting cars, never paying them. Renting houses, destroying
them.
Plexico was a... I just don't want to ever do business with Plexico.
Raise and, the W,
well,
Brian.
I don't know what the situation is.
You're
going to
eat a dub like
James
Winston?
Morris, but
you can eat whatever you want now at McDonald's 5
airport.
Times a month. We just won.
That was clutch asking the second read there.
Would you guys gone at Lance if you hadn't gotten the second read?
I would have, yeah. I don't know if he might have been able to talk me out of it, but I heard more Granato the second read.
I thought I read it the same. But anyway, quote number 5. See if you guys go 4-1. That's BS for stealing something personal. Steal a car. Steal some jewelry. Stealing personal items is messed up. There's been a lot of Houston athletes who have gone through this, and I would like all of us to hashtag be better.
Call her Lance.
You think Lance
They're
would
talking about Andre Johnson's
yeah,
house?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Would Lance do the hashtag be better?
He's got kids. Might.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we've already won. I don't care.
Lance.
That's BS if you're stealing something personal.
You're right.
Steal
it doesn't
a
matter.
Car.
Yep. 4-1, 3-2 means nothing to me.
Stealing personal
In fact,
items
the only thing that means
up.
Anything to me is 5-0. Anything else, I don't care about.
So you might as well have lost 0-5.
Yeah.
In your mind.
I wouldn't have cared any different. 4-1 is equal to 0-5. They're all the same except 5-0 to me. It's the only thing that
you
that
want to get rid of.
Yes.
I'll take anything with us getting three.
Yeah, that's the only thing
I'm
that
I'm surprised
motivates
you kept playing after the first. You got the first one wrong then.
Well, I mean, I didn't really do much.
That's true.
I went first
that's
instinct
true.
And was out.
That's true.
I didn't really put much thought into it.
Yeah, you're right, actually, in hindsight.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
This is Hunter Brown's music. How come you didn't do Luis Garcia?
I don't even remember what his music was.
He's Baila Este Cumbia.
Okay, well, when he makes a start for the Astros, I will miss
that. I've missed that song so much.
Well, I thought the Javier song was your... Was it Javier's song that was your favorite?
No, Garcia was.
Was it? Okay.
What was Javier's, though? I forget Javier's, too.
Robin was Love Roller.
Yeah. I forget what Javier's was. Is it somewhere in that thing you got
yeah,
back there?
Yeah, I'll look for it.
Call, a computer, I think they call it. Yeah, it's Hunter Brown. Hopefully Hunter Brown pitches well. Tough ballpark to pitch in. Pretty good Red Sox lineup. Should be fun. Apple TV.
He's got to like his infield.
No, computer's got nothing. I'll have to effort more later.
I can't remember what Javier's was. All right, let's see if Hunter Brown pitches well. Let's get to our car wreck of the day. Bump, bump, bump. Bump, bump.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Robbie says I'm retired. I can start drinking whenever I want. Fair. I ain't mad at you for that.
I thought he came in after work when we were at...
100% when we were at Cactus Jacks, he was in a uniform working. He came from work.
Could you not retire between now and then?
No, not without telling us. He calls us almost every day.
It feels unlikely.
I think he said I have a couple more weeks before retirement now that I think about it.
Nah, maybe he did. I don't know.
I don't remember hearing that.
You guys just don't listen to people, clearly.
That definitely is true. I don't.
Man. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he told us that at... Cactus Jacks.
So you don't know either, then.
I'm pretty sure he's like,
you don't know.
I listened to Who Said It Enough to get us a dub.
By the skinnier teeth.
I listen to people.
All right, what's your car record today?
Oh, for me, Stephen A. Smith. If you guys caught it earlier in the week, there was a lot of reports coming out of the Phillies clubhouse after Robbie Manfred decided to go clubhouse to clubhouse. And he's trying to get people, the players, prepared for what might be a work stoppage and everything that's going on with collective bargaining. And Bryce Harper evidently got in his face, nose to nose, and basically told him if he came in here to talk about a salary cap to get the F out. And Stephen A. Smith thought that was grounds for a suspension. Are you kidding me? Grounds for a suspension because you decided to stick up to the commissioner in private?
I mean, if you did it to Mr. Gow, do you think you'd work the next day?
Depends on how I did it.
Well, stand face to face and threaten to kill
him. But that's you can't put it that way because Mr. Gow would be like if he did it to the owner of the Phillies. He didn't do it to the owner of the Phillies, who technically he works for. He did it for the commissioner of baseball.
All right, so if he did it to the CEO of ESPN,
but also in a technicality, we're not officially an ESPN station.
I'm doing a lot of reaching here.
No, I'm doing a lot of rebuttaling.
I
don't think you're going to suspend Bryce Harper. Other people were insinuating that there might be hell to pay and there might be retaliation at some point from the league office for a Bryce Harper. Are you kidding me over the fact that you basically stood up for the player side of this and said we're not here to talk about that? I disagree with it vehemently. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. Pretty dumb. A lot of texters are saying that Micah Parsons needs to the entire situation in Dallas, actually. Jerry Jones, Cowboys, Micah Parsons has demanded a trade. Micah Parsons was quote tweeted earlier talking about how college football is a joke. Y'all might as well just make college football into a semi-pro league. Actually hold players accountable to the contracts they sign. This was after a quarterback transferred away from Tennessee. So Micah Parsons, like, they should be staying where their contracts are. And now Micah Parsons going against his contract, demanding a trade.
But he's also doing that because the Jones family has decided to shun David Mulgeta and not talk to him and tell Micah and David to talk to the cap guy.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, at a certain point, Micah's got to stick up for himself, too, and go, okay, well, then I'll do the negotiating one-on-one ploy of ask for a trade.
He could also just honor his contract and leave in free agency when it's done.
Which is
he's saying that people should honor their contracts. I don't really
still
care.
Do it. He didn't hold out. He's still practicing.
Is he practicing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really get contract stuff in professional sports. Like, I usually just don't pay attention to it a whole lot. Car wreck of the day, couple of others. Did you see this drunk Wyoming man that was inside the Buffalo International Airport? He stole an airport golf cart and then was driving it down the moving walkway. He ended up shattering the glass from the railing, though, because it wouldn't fit. His name is Kevin Sinning, which is funny, his last name's Sinning. But yeah, 29-year-old Wyoming man stole an airport golf cart at the Buffalo International Airport around 1 in the morning, shattered a bunch of glass on this thing. Pretty funny. And then also, do you drink Celsius by chance? Y'all drink Celsius?
I don't. Drink. I heard
y'all
about
drink
the story,
High
but
Noons
no.
by chance?
No.
High Noon is warning customers that some of its vodka seltzers were accidentally labeled as Celsius energy drinks. So some of these energy drinks have High Noon in them. Oops. They're vodka
some
seltzers.
THC?
Pretty, sounds like a good time to me. All right, what you got, Brian?
Quickly. I'll nominate Harold Reynolds and the Fox Sports Twitter account for their blunders yesterday.
Oh, yeah, Fox Sports was a good one, too.
Yeah, especially since it got me.
It did get
well,
you.
It didn't really get
got.
Me. They messed
no,
up. I just
got.
Reported what they read. Or
you
they,
didn't confirm
what
they, it. Any good journalist would get it from two sources.
I'm not a journalist.
Good point. All right, what's winning?
I'll go Stephen A.
Sounds good to me. Stephen A. Smith, you're the winner. Thanks for your hard work, Brian. He's blank on Brandon. And we'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Inside the Icebox, coming up right now.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.